Our scripture this morning is from the first part of the first chapter of Mark. And after I read this, you will be all up to date with what we are studying in our Lenten Bible study. So feel free to make that call, send that email to get a book and come join us. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice, one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Those are bold words, but they mean different things in different contexts to different people. What I'm struck by in the scripture is, prepare the way of the Lord, he will make the rough places plain. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain will be made low. Everything gets changed. That can either be something that gives you comfort, or it could be something that gives you pause. Because I have to confess that I don't like change. I like doing the same thing in the same way again and again and again. But what that causes us to do is it causes us to get into a routine where we do things without thinking about them. I was going through the motions yesterday. I was on my way to Lily Park to do a run with some friends of mine. And I am going down I-94. And I am thinking about all sorts of different things, one of which is baseball, which I usually think about pretty much all the time. And I realized that my exit just went by behind me. And I'm headed east past my destination. And I think in that moment I understood something about why God does what God does. Too often we start going through the motions not realizing what we're doing anymore. One of my favorite memories of a couple years ago is the sign said, end road construction. And a friend of mine posted, I see these protest signs everywhere, but they don't seem to be working. Because nobody sees road construction up ahead and goes, yes, this is great. But maybe we should. The roads don't get better if they don't work on them. And perhaps that pause in your day, perhaps that change of direction is something God will use. There are some scriptures that come to mind to me. One is from Joshua And the Lord God speaks to Joshua and he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. People have such a misconstrued understanding of what it means to be with God and what it means to follow God. There was a player in the Super Bowl last year. I will not mention the name. It's not really fair to do that. But he is a Fellowship of Christian Athletes person. He gives testimonies and he goes along and he ran a crossing pattern over the middle. He broke free. There was nobody between him and the end zone. The ball hit him in the hands and it fell on the ground. Fourth down, he went to the bench, took up his phone and tweeted. And he said the following things. He says, man, I praise you 24/7, 365, and this is how you do me? As if following God should make it so he never drops a pass again? Is that your understanding of how life with Jesus works? Or is it that in that moment when you drop the pass on national TV during the Super Bowl, God's still with you? The fans may boo you, but God's still with you. Detours. Detours are important because they still get us to our destination, even though we can't take the way that we're accustomed to taking. Think of how you would feel about the sign that said road closed if there wasn't a detour arrow showing you how to go to get back to where you need to be. A detour is actually a good thing because it still gets you where you need to go. And I think the detours allow us to reconnect with God. In the Bible, God talks about the Israelites. And instead of taking them the shortest way from Egypt into the Promised Land, he takes them into the desert, lest the people change their minds when they see the wars and just return to Egypt. God makes sense of detours. There's another scripture verse that says, all things work together for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean that you catch all your passes. It doesn't mean that everything always goes right. But if you allow the God to use that, he can bring you closer to him. So a detour can slow you down and cause you to be still and know that he is God. A detour is a good thing because a detour gets you to where you needed to be, even if it's not by the way that you had planned to go. The other thing is that a detour may be something that safeguards you. I had a selections from a movie called Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty. And Warren Beatty is a football quarterback who's taken to heaven too soon. He actually didn't die. So they have to find a way to get him back. And there's this really dark comic moment where he's trying to choose a body to go into. And each time he sees somebody, he says, no, they're a little too short. And they walk away and you hear a crash and the person dies. And then he goes to another auto racer and the auto racer doesn't speak English and boom, the car crashes and dies. And you know you're not supposed to think it's funny because people are dying. But in that midst of the moment, you realize that God has this timing where if he had chosen that person would be switched places with, and he would get back to the life he was intended to live. God can use a detour to safeguard us from something that might happen. I have often said that one of my favorite songs is "There, But for the Grace of God, Go I." Because sometimes I look at tragic figures, and I said, but really, what would I have done in those circumstances? I had the privilege of working downtown Detroit at Detroit Metropolitan, and there was a place called Bennett Park, and there was a guy there who basically owned the court. He chose who he wanted to play with and who he wanted to beat, and it was just his time and his place, and that was just the way it was. He was 12. But he was so good, it didn't matter. He just dominated. He turned out to be a spoiled brat who went on to play for a team that I won't name, but if you were told that you were the greatest thing in the world from the age of 12, what kind of ego do you think you would have? I'm actually pleasantly surprised when some of these kids turn out so well. I think I would be insufferable. If I was fed a steady dose of "you're the greatest ever lived" from the age of 12, I think I would believe it. Therefore, I was a skinny 140-pound strong safety who couldn't beat anybody at anything. And God instead gave me humility. And last but not least, I think God uses detours to get our attention, to notice things that we wouldn't have noticed otherwise. Two great illustrations. One, there is a ranch out west. If you haven't been out west, ranches have little patches of grass surrounded by red sandstone rock. And there really isn't a lot of hospitable territory. But one of their torrential rain systems came through and made a divot in the ground. Problem was that the divot was in the middle of the road. But a beautiful bird didn't know any better and built their nest in the middle of the road. So the rancher made a little detour around the bird's nest. And for all that spring, everybody drove by and watched the birds hatch, grow, and fly away. And they were actually kind of sad at the end of the spring when they took the detour away and filled in the hole and made the ranch road new again. The second comes from the city. It's set in Philadelphia. And there's a little boy who's frantically waving his arms, trying to get somebody to stop. I don't know if it was Broad Street or another of the large streets that goes through downtown Philadelphia, but no one would stop for him. And a gentleman drove by and swerved around the kid who was swinging his arms, saying, "God, what a bother." But a short time later, he had dropped off what he went to drop off and came back the other way. And as he passed the little boy waving his arms, he heard a thud against the side of his car. The kid had picked up a brick and thrown it at his car as he went by. And the guy squealed on his brakes, stopped, and confronted the kid. He says, "It's a $70,000 car you just bound a brick off. I hope you know how long you're going to have to work to pay that off." He says, "I'm really sorry. I'd be glad to pay for it. But no one would stop. And my brother fell out of the wheelchair in the alley, and I can't get him up." Guy got out of his car, walked into the alley, and put the little boy back in his wheelchair. Got in his car and drove away. But what he didn't do, he never fixed the dent on the side of his car. Because he said, if I ever get so busy that it takes a brick for God to get my attention, I have truly become too busy. Think about that next time you see a sign that says detour. Maybe it's an appointment with God. Could you pray with me? Lord, we confess that as people we don't like change. And yet we love you, despite the fact that that's what you promise us. You promise us that every valley will be exalted and every mountain will be laid low, that the rough places will be made plain, that you'll restore a clean spirit in us. Help us understand that if we're going to become more like your Son, Jesus, we do have to change. But if we trust you, all these changes will work together. Help us to understand it's part of a process of bringing us closer to you. And that is really our hope and our dream. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen.